It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
When they left and they went to Muscle Shoals Sound Studios.
That's a hard name.
Yeah, it really is.
And Chad P.
The A-Team. The songs are so short. Would it kill you if I played three by these guys?
I pity the fool who played three songs by these guys. I had to do it. I'm sorry.
I wish I'd have.
Class is in.
Good afternoon. It's Rock School, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I'm Joe Burns. You're?
Chad B.
Yes, I'm a professor right here broadcasting live from the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University, emitting microphone sounds. Hey, backing bands.
Backing bands.
We're going to talk about backing bands today for an entire hour. We were talking about this before the show got underway. When you hear of a single artist, Paul Simon, Madonna,
Prince.
Something like that. Prince.
Okay.
They don't have a specific band backing them up. But Tom Petty does.
The Heartbreakers.
Right. They have a specific band behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody like Tom Petty comes along, he brings his people. When, say, Paul Simon comes along, who backs him up? Who is it that plays the instruments behind him? Well, it's normally a group of session musicians that play behind him.
Okay.
Normally, these session musicians are, how do I put this? They're connected to a certain sound, or they are connected to a certain area. Say, a group of people from Nashville.
Okay.
Or a certain people, group of people from Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Or they are connected to a certain studio, like the Muscle Shoals Swampers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in the song by Leonard Skinner, Muscle Shoals has got the Swampers?
Yeah, that's from Sweet Home Alabama.
Right. That's one of the groups we're going to talk about today. Also, certain backing bands are connected to certain producers. So if you are going to be produced by a certain person, a specific backing band will come along with that person.
Okay.
And that's where we're going to start today. Phil Spector.
Okay.
Do you know? Yes, I know Phil Spector. Hair out to here. Before Phil Spector went off his medication in the 1960s and 70s, he was the rock producer. He was known for something called, you know what it is?
No, I don't.
The Wall of Sound.
Okay, the Wall of Sound.
When you did something with Phil Spector, you had this beautiful, lush, multiple grouping, instrumentation, heavy echo on it, and it just made this wall of sound. It had a beautiful run behind it.
You could tell just by listening to it, that's a Phil Spector produced.
That it was Phil Spector.
Okay.
Now, who played behind him? It was a backing band called The Wrecking Crew.
Okay.
Now, names that you know are from The Wrecking Crew. The guitarists were people like Glenn Campbell.
I know Glenn Campbell.
Tommy Tedesco.
Okay.
By the way, according to Guitar Player Magazine, Tommy Tedesco is the most recorded guitarist ever.
Hey.
Some other people, Steve Douglas was a saxophonist, Tommy Turan was in the trumpet, Leon Russell was the main keyboard player that played with him, Mac Redenbach, you know him?
No.
Dr. John.
Oh!
Carol Kay, she was the bassist for Frank Zappa for a long time. Drums, Hal Blaine. Do you know Hal Blaine?
No.
Earl Palmer was also in there. The Ron Hicklin singers were the backup singers. Now, you may not know all of the names, but these people you have heard thousands of times. They were the go-to people for Phil Spector. And the reason I'm going to really put some time into these backing bands is because these people were chameleons. I've gone out of my way to find two songs from each of these backing bands to show they can play way over here and then way over there. I want you to listen to the two songs that I'm going to play from each group and kind of go, that's the same group of people? That's what I'm looking for. So we begin. Wall of Sound, The Beach Boys, produced by Phil Spector and The Wrecking Crew from 1966. At that time, the most expensive 45 ever produced, $50,000.
Good Lord.
Here you go, Good Vibrations, Rock School.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentleman on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
What is that?
That's a theremin and a cello there at the end banging back and forth. A theremin. It's a strange synthesizer. It has a vertical vertical metal bar okay. and a horizontal. Wow.
What is going on, dude?
Has a metal bar that goes vertical and it has a metal bar that goes left and right.
All right.
No matter where you put your finger in that electric field, it then through a synthesizer creates a note.
Really?
And where you put your finger, it actually, you know, recreates a synthesized note.
That's awesome. Paul Tanner
played it. Neato, huh?
That is neato.
Now, the thing about it is, these backing bands, specifically the Wrecking Crew, I'm going to now play for you Ike and Tina Turner's River Deep, Mountain High, about the most beautiful representation of Phil Spector's Wall of Sound.
Okay.
You got to bring in new people.
Yeah, because it's probably the exact opposite of what we just heard.
Sure, good vibrations. It's, you know, surf music.
Nice surf
fun.
Music.
Ike and Tina Turner is going to be about as close to Memphis soul as you're going to get.
So did they bring in new people?
No, the Wrecking Crew. That's why these guys were so favored, if you will, by Phil Spector, because they were chameleons. They could play whatever was asked of them.
So you could just, like, put a bunch of different musical genres in a hat.
And these guys
draw one and say, okay, you've got New Orleans jazz, go.
And these guys could do it.
Nice.
That's why Phil Spector liked them so much. So remember, when you listen to this next song, same people playing in the background. The Wrecking Crew, River Deep, Mountain High, mainly Tina Turner, but Ike was her manager, so he got a little bit of money.
Yeah.
River Deep, Mountain High, Rock School.
I was a little girl, I had a rag doll, only doll I've ever owned. Now I love you just the way I love that rag doll, but only now my love has grown. And it gets stronger in every way, and it gets deeper.
You hear all of the lush background, the doubling and the tripling and the fourpling of
all
the instruments.
You told me that was the same people, I'd have called you a liar to your face.
I'm telling you, same people, almost to the person. And the reason I played those two is I looked up the actual musicians, almost to the person. And by the way, I want to get more into the Wall of Sound, but I need to move along to the next backing group. I'm going to do an entire show just on Phil Spector.
Wow.
Because
he's got that much influence?
Oh, my dear. We can get into the Ronettes, to the Righteous Brothers, to Gary Lewis and the Playboys, and believe it or not, the Beatles.
So he was like the Timberland of his time.
He was. He was at that time the big guy. Muscle Shoals has got the Swampers. There's only one problem.
What?
They weren't in Muscle Shoals. They were in Florence, Alabama. They got started in Fame Studios, and that is in Florence, Alabama.
Now, Muscle Shoals sounds cooler.
Some of them left, and they started Muscle Shoals Sound Studio. But the Swampers actually got started in Fame Studios in Florence, Alabama. So it may very well be that Lynyrd Skynyrd in Sweet Home Alabama was talking about when they left and they went to Muscle Shoals Sound Studios. But the Swampers...
That's a hard name.
Yeah, it really is. When they left, they were Jimmy Johnson, Eddie Hilton, and Pete Guitar. They were the guitarists. Spooner Oldham, Barry Beckett, and Clary Ivory, they were the keyboardists. Roger Hawkins played the drums, and David Hood played the bass. That's it. Those were the Swampers. What happened was, this guy named Percy Sledge, Yeah. Needed somebody to back him up on the song, you might have heard of it, When a Man Loves a Woman.
Yeah, I heard it one time.
When it played, Jerry Wexler of Atlantic Records and Stax Records said, "Who is playing backup on that?" "Oh, it's these guys down in Florence, Alabama." Oh, no.
No.
And all of a sudden, all of these guys from Atlantic and Stax started coming down, and the floodgates opened, and the Swampers were born.
Hmm.
This one will show, I'm going to play two songs back to back. You're going to shake your head. Those are the same guys? This is Wilson Pickett from 1962. This is from the Stax side of it. Land of a Thousand Dances. Of course, he only mentions 16 different dances in the song, but Wilson Pickett, Land of a Thousand Dances, the Swampers on Rock School.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
I can actually Watusi.
Can you now?
Yes, I can. When I was in high school, they decided to teach us all how to dance.
Yeah.
And my gym teacher taught us how to Watusi.
Oh, nice.
That's really bad.
What's that third step, coach?
I have no idea. And you know what they had was those little feet.
Oh, the feet on the floor.
Oh, yeah. They taught us how to ballroom dance and all of that. That was really bad.
Hey, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you had mentioned the Swampers, and you had talked about each person having their own instrument, but I didn't hear you mention anybody playing horns.
No, they must have brought somebody with.
Because I heard horns.
I know.
There was a plethora of horns.
There was a real good sax player in there. I don't know who that was.
Okay.
I don't know who that was because the original Swampers and Beckett, Hawkins, and Hood, who left and started Muscle Shoals Sound Studio. How come I can say that so cleanly, but Theremin threw me off? That one killed me today. But I don't have anything here about who the backup singers were, and I don't have anything about who played the saxophone.
Oh,
whoever it was played a blaring saxophone.
Okay. Another show for another day.
Now, you've heard that. Again, that Memphis sound, that great soul sound. I also brought along, in case we run out of time and I need to play a couple tunes at the end, I brought along Sweet Soul Music by Arthur Conley.
Mm-hmm.
These guys also played with the Stones. These guys also played with Bob Seger. You've heard Old Time Rock and Roll?
Yeah.
That's them.
Are
That's
you serious?
The Swampers. I want to play two songs by each backing group to give you sort of a, my gosh, that's the same group of guys.
Because, they were getting down James Brown style just now.
Listen to this.
What?
Here's Paul Simon, Kodachrome. This is the same group of guys.
No, it's not.
Swampers, Rock School.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing.
There goes Ryman Simon on Rock School.
Same guys, huh?
Same guys. That's the Swampers.
Wow.
Lovely, lovely. Technically, they're called the Muscle Shoals Rhythm Section, but who wants to say that? The Swampers are so much more interesting. By the way, that song was not a hit in the UK because British radio does not play music that has trademark names in it.
What?
Honest to goodness. That's Kodachrome. That's Kodak, Kodachrome film.
Yeah.
Kodachrome actually is a trademark of Kodak, and if you get the album There Goes Ryman Simon, which is the album this song is on, it actually says on the album, Kodachrome is a trademark of Kodak Film.
Wow.
And British music, British radio will not play trademarked names.
Well, everybody's got their little quirks.
Can you believe that? And by the way, even after making him do that, Kodak used it in the 1990s to sell film.
Hey.
You'd think they would have not done that. The A-Team.
Oh, boy.
Believe me. What? I don't think Mr. T can play the guitar very well. Not that A-Team. The A-Team out of Nashville. Okay. And we'll talk about them. The songs are so short. Would it kill you if I played three by these guys?
I pity the fool play three songs by these guys. I had to do it.
I wish I'd have made that joke. Back in a minute on Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about very famous backing bands. If you were recording in Nashville, you wanted the A-Team. How did it go? If you can find them and you can afford them, you want the A-Team. No, I'm not talking about Mr. T. I'm talking about a group of Nashville super session musicians. Now, you may not know all the names, but a few of them you will. Bob Moore played the bass. Buddy Herman played the drums. Chet Atkins played the guitar. Hargis Robbins played the keyboard. Floyd Kramer played the piano.
I heard you talking about this guy, and you would like slow down when you said his name.
Floyd Kramer is, if you touch a keyboard, you want to be Floyd Kramer.
Okay.
Pete Drake was on the steel guitar, and Charlie McCoy was on the harmonica. I'm teaching myself to play the harmonica, by the way, and I put together a show on the harmonica.
Yeah.
And I still have yet to decide whether I'm going to actually bring the harmonica in.
Oh, you have to.
Well, okay.
You have to.
I'll make fun of that.
Let's get better.
Are you familiar with the Lovin' Spoonful song Nashville Cats Play Clean as Country Water?
No.
The Nashville Cats was another nickname for the A-Team.
Okay.
They played on hundreds of country songs, rock songs, especially early rockabilly tunes like this one.
Okay.
Roy Orbison.
Hey.
Oh, Pretty Woman.
I love that song.
When you hear this one play, think A-Team. This is The Pretty Woman on Rock School A-Team.
Laughing. I like that song. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Isn't that funny?
No, I just... Are we on?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, it's Rock School. I'm Joe.
Why are you laughing?
Professional disc jockey. This is Chad.
How
is everybody? I just thought, did you catch me clearing my throat? I guess is what I'm asking.
Maybe.
I was going, trying to hack up a duck, I think
Maybe
is what I,
did. I
was
Maybe
doing.
I did. Hey, look at that, half pass.
Look at that. This is the A-Team we're talking about now with the backup bands here. And oh, by the way, hi, WESU, Middletown, Connecticut.
Hello.
Our new affiliate here on Rock School. Don't drop us because you caught me laughing and clearing my throat. We're going to do a stump here in a minute, but first off, by all means, and by the way, last week was the first show that ran on Middletown, Connecticut. Am
yes.
I right about that?
Yes.
We got email.
We sure did.
Somebody listened.
Yes.
Fantastic.
We appreciate that.
We weren't just actually broadcasting to the trees. Absolutely fantastic.
The trees are our best listeners.
Oh, and you know what? When they wrestle the leaves, you know we're doing something right. And if it's good music, shake the leaves. Go to the website. See us. We're beautiful people. KSLU.org. Look for the Rock School thing on the right. Click on it. I was just in Florida.
Yeah.
Visiting my parents so I could show off the grandchild.
Yeah.
In reality, it's, you know, here, take this kid. And
I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah, the wife and I are going to go and have a lunch where no one is actually reaching into my food and taking it.
Right.
Oof, can I have the rest of this? And my father took a whole bunch of these shows because I copy off a lot of them and send them to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been passing them around.
Yeah.
And a few of his friends wanted to meet me because they liked the show.
Celebrity status in Florida?
That's right.
Hey, I'm going to Florida in July.
At a retirement community. So if you can get to my father's retirement community.
Maybe somebody will put me up.
You're hip. You're the man. So if the people at the retirement community wish to actually send us an email, Where do they go?
They would go to KSLU Rotten, a beautiful segue.
None of them have computers, but go right ahead.
KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. KSLU Rock School, one big word, no underscores, no spaces, at gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you'd like to hear.
Okay, we are talking about the A-Team. Mm-hmm. We've already played Oh Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison. We're going to go into another song by the A-Team by Roger Miller, but we're kind of backwards here. You wanted to actually do a stump for me on...
Yeah.
Roy Orbison.
I'll do a spontaneous stump on Roy Orbison.
Shoot.
Well, there's legend that he was asked by a certain studio producer to wear black sunglasses.
Sam Phillips.
Okay. And do you know why Sam Phillips asked him to wear black sunglasses?
I do, as a matter of fact.
What is it?
His eyes were too close
That's
together.
Right.
He said, when you go on stage, you have to do something about your eyes. And he said, what's the matter? He said, you got to wear sunglasses or something. Your eyes are too close together. You're going to scare children. That was the quote. You're going to scare children. So did I get one?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I've been doing poorly lately.
I give you two for that one.
The A-Team was playing on all kinds of country rock tunes. This song was originally recorded by Roger Miller. It was written about a hotel in Boise, Idaho. It has been covered by Elvis, Dean Martin, R.E.M., Johnny Paycheck, Boxcar Willie, Randy Travis,
Good
the Statler
night.
Brothers, the Proclaimers, Reverend Horton Heat, and hundreds of others.
Are you killing me? What's the name of this
Trailer
song?
Trailer for Sailor Rent. King of the Road.
King of the Road.
Roger Miller
okay.
on Rock School.
Trailer for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes, ah, but 2 hours of pushing broom. Ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours.
Rock School with Roger Miller, King
hey.
Of the Roads. Not really rock, but boy, that's a good one.
Yeah,
like that
good.
A lot.
Buddy Herman's playing, it sounds like he's playing with some brushes. He's
uh-huh.
got a tambourine hooked up to his hi-hat, and he's just kind of banging away on the drums with these soft brushes to not give too hard of a sound, but hard enough to where you can hear it.
You heard all that just from the song?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the drums. Nothing. I promise we play three from the A-Team because the songs are so short. Next one up, Jimmy Dean, Big Bad John.
I love this song. I really do.
It has the same problem that The Devil Went Down to Georgia did.
What?
They recorded two versions of it because The Devil Went Down to Georgia says, because I done told you once, you son of a... You don't really know what he's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
He has one version where he says the B word, and then he has one where he says, you son of a gun.
Yeah.
At the end of Jimmy Dean, it's or then in Jimmy Dean's song, it says, at the bottom of this lie, at the bottom of this mine lies one... H-E double hockey sticks of a man.
Okay.
They had to re-record it where it says at the bottom of this mine lies a big, big man.
Why? The first one isn't bad.
Well, you got to remember when this thing was recorded. We're back in the early 60s on this thing. And
oh, okay.
H-E double hockey sticks is bad enough. So I'm not going to tell you which version I brought.
Doesn't
we'll
matter.
See.
I'm not going to bleep it out. It's not.
Hit it.
Okay.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John, Big John, Big Bad. Big John.
Come on, man.
I know.
You Good. Chicken.
I know. I know. I know.
I'm
I knew
sitting
you
there
were
going
to bleep it, but I thought I would bring in the good one. Now I have to find a reason to play the Charlie Daniels song and bring
yeah,
in the
well,
one with the cursing in it. So
mm-hmm.
The next group. We're leaving the A-Team, going on to the next one, the Marquees. Now, you're going to recognize some of the names in the Marquees. These guys were known for defining Southern soul, Memphis soul.
Okay.
You will know the sound of these guys. They created Volt Records.
Okay.
Stax Records also. Now, I know you said Stax Records came down and they got with the Muscle Shoals Sound Studio. You're right. But Stax Records also needed a house band of their own. Listen to some of these names.
Tell me.
Donald Duck Dunn.
I know him.
Steve Cropper.
Yeah.
Don Nix, Terry Wayne, Jerry Lee Smoochie Smith. Man, can he play. Booker T. Jones, as in Booker T. and the MGs, right?
Yeah.
And on organ,
who?
Isaac Hayes.
No
ladies,
way.
You
not
betcha.
Chef.
The Marquees, ladies and gentlemen, you know them as, I mean, Memphis Sound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how else to say it. The best example of it is from 1968, featured on the album Dusty in Memphis, the son of a preacher man. Here's Dusty Springfield on Rock School.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Passing Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only
one that ever would be sweet was the son of a preacher.
There you go.
Isn't that bass groove?
Oh, it's beautiful. Dusty Springfield, early in the British invasion, son of a preacher man. Something wonderful about that song.
Mm-hmm.
Almost wonderfully dirty about that song. Aretha Franklin was originally given that tune. She turned it down.
Why?
I don't know. Gave it over to, you know, Dusty Springfield. Said, okay, you do it. And she wanted to have that Memphis sound played by the Marquees, you know, which, again, as you pointed out beforehand, went on to be Booker T and the MGs.
Yeah.
A lot of them went on to play with the Blues Brothers, and were in the Blues Brothers movie.
That's right.
We got to take a break. We're going to come back, play one more tune by the Marquees, because we do have one more backing band after them to tell you about. So 1 minute, back in a minute. Rock School. This is Rock School, as we talk about backing bands. We're talking about the purveyors of the Memphis soul. And I brought a song by them that they backed up the Box Tops, Cry Like a Baby, because I wanted to show sort of the dichotomy that these groups could all play one type of music and then play a secondary type of music. But
yeah.
Chad looked at my playlist and basically gave me this look like it would be a sin not to play this.
It should be.
Yeah, you're right. Here's Otis Redding, Dock of the Bay on Rock School.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away.
You think there's a show in songs that have whistling in them?
Yeah.
You think we can find 14 songs that have whistling in them?
I can think of quite a few.
Couple right off the bat?
Yeah, I think we could do that.
Yeah, probably. Sure, one more backing band to go. These guys were originally called the Soul Brothers because Motown CEO Berry Gordy hated the connotation of the word funk.
Why?
But well, you know what funk means.
What?
Funk actually, it's kind of strange, the epistemology of the word. That means the history of the word. But funk came from the concept of, you went to these bars where a lot of people were smoking and such, and there kind of was this yellowish haze on the inside of the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when you said a club was funky,
mm-hmm.
that didn't mean that the music was hip and lively and cool and all of that.
It was nasty, dirty.
You got it. When you said you were going to a funky club, you're going to a club that was dirty and nasty and had a bad reputation.
Oh.
So when, you know, Motown CEO Berry Gordy said, look, I don't like the word funk, he was saying, nah, we're not dirty and nasty. And as a matter of fact, I've actually put together a show on Motown. I have a dual show ready to go. One half of it is Motown, one half of it is the Rock of Detroit. So
cool.
It's a twofer on Detroit. Half is Motown, half is the Rock of Detroit. And Motown CEO Berry Gordy was very interested in his artists being, I don't know how else to put it, wholesome. He had people that were attached to these groups like the Supremes and
mm-hmm.
the Jackson 5 and such
mm-hmm.
who were etiquette coaches.
Oh.
It taught them how to, you know, shake hands and how to act in public and such. He was
opposite
very concerned. Yeah,
we're
he was
teach
very
you
concerned.
How to not be funk.
But the Soul Brother label didn't last very long, and they were known as the Funk Brothers. There's a wonderful documentary. It's won so many awards. If you can get your hand on it, it's called Standing in the Shadows of Motown. The opening titles of the film proclaim, the Funk Brothers have played on more number one records than the Beatles, Elvis, the Rolling Stones, and the Beach Boys combined.
Combined.
Joe Hunter is the piano player. James Jamerson is the bass guitarist. Benny Benjamin and Pistol Allen are on the drums. Robert White, Eddie Williams, Joe Messina the guitarist. Jack Ashford is the percussionist extraordinaire. Jack Brokenshaw is on Vibes and Marimba. And Eddie Bongo Brown is the percussionist. Now, I said I would never play Michael Jackson on this radio show.
You sure did.
And I'm not going to play any solo Michael Jackson, but I have to tell you what, there really isn't any better instrumentation than early Motown music, and no better representation of the Funk Brothers than the Jackson 5.
You are correct.
I Want You Back, Rock School. Wow, that was an early fade.
Yes, it was.
That thing
we're
faded
sitting here
out
talking,
quick.
Trying to name all the Jackson children.
It's like naming the dwarves. You'll always miss like Grumpy. You just can't ever get to the full seven. That's I Want You Back, the Jackson 5. And, you know, I didn't want to play them. I kept looking at it. Should I play this? Should I play that? I don't want to play Michael Jackson and such. But the instrumentation on it is just a wonderful representation of what the Funk Brothers did. That was originally offered to Gladys Knight and the Pips, and she turned it down.
I'm kind of glad that she did.
By the way, have you ever heard the story that Jackson 5 were given to Motown by Diana Ross?
No, I haven't heard that.
Apparently, she saw them perform from a tape in the basement, and the whole thing was put out that she, because she was at that time Diana Ross, that she brought them to Motown. Pure lie. Pure made up, the whole schmeal. They were brought there by Joe Jackson, the father, and the way that Berry Gordy was introducing the Jackson 5 to the world was that Diana Ross discovered them. Pure lie. Pure lie.
Okay.
In the later years, 1968, 1969, the Funk Brothers created a new form of music which was called psychedelic soul, and it took off. The Temptations really were the band that latched onto it, and it became so popular the first year that they began recording it. The thing won the Grammys for Best Rhythm and Blues and the Best Rhythm and Blues Vocal Performance. It's called Psychedelic Soul, and the Temptations were the first to do it. Cloud 9 is the best representation of it, and that's the one we're going to finish on.
Cool,
so,
man.
I guess we're pretty much done. We end on the Funk Brothers. Pretty good representation of backing bands, you think?
I liked it.
Little bit of information for you. Take it. Enjoy it. Know that when you hear these people playing, pretty much the same guys again and again and again. My name is Joe Burns.
My name's Chad P.
Class dismissed.